we've been studying Mark, and I feel like really one of the key verses in Mark is Mark chapter 1, verse 15, where Jesus said, "The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe." And I believe that was not just a statement for then and there. It's a statement for here and now. The time, the defining moment, your defining moment is now. The kingdom of God, the rule of God in your hearts and through your lives is here. Therefore, repent and believe. That's the posture that we need to enter into the study of this book, which is really the book about the king and the kingdom. And as we talked about last week in The Dirt on the Kingdom, part one, it's for us, it's about receptivity. Receptivity to the Word of God, a receptive heart to the kingdom of God. And we want to kind of keep moving in that. It got me thinking about cereal. Most things get me thinking about food. I don't know. When I was a kid, the cereal boxes, I don't know if it's still true, but when I was a kid, because she buys healthier cereal. But when I was a kid, and you got like Cap'n Crunch, the back of the box, there was always, you know, the thing like this. Inside this box. And there would be a treasure inside the box other than the 10 pounds of sugar that you were going to consume. And I remember this. I don't remember all of them, but I remember this one. Does anyone else remember the terrariums that would come in a box of cereal? And it was like a little clear plastic thing, and there's a little sponge and like one seed. And you'd, you know, rip open the package and you'd get it. You'd put the sponge there and you'd get the sponge wet and you'd lay the seed on top and you'd pop the top back on and you'd put it on the windowsill. And amazing things would happen. And I think that's such an awesome picture. The kingdom of God. It gives us a peek into. And I think in some ways that's what we're going to look at, a set of three parables this morning that kind of tag team off last week's parable. And I think each of them is kind of like that little terrarium, giving us a peek inside to watch what's going on as the kingdom grows. But also, they're this picture of the kingdom itself. Another cool thing I found in cereal boxes was the Cap'n Crunch Super Sub. Remember that one? That was fun. You'd open it up, you'd put a little baking soda in there, close it back up, put it in the tub. This baking soda would get wet and it would bubble. And it would form kind of pressure, and then it would burp, and it would sink. And then the pressure would build, and it would come back up, and then it would burp, and it would sink. Last, you know, maybe it's not a burp. I don't know. I don't remember which end it came from. This has absolutely nothing to do with the sermon, but I couldn't help but celebrate the super sub. Back to the terrarium. I failed if the only thing you remember about this sermon is the super sub. So maybe I should have thought of a kingdom application to that. Give me time. I'll come back with it. But this terrarium, this idea of kingdom growth. And we're going to take a look again at these next three parables where Jesus, and they're just small ones. So I kind of get, but I think they kind of came in a package. I mean, Mark kind of lays out a group of parables, and then we hear some action stories of things that happened as Jesus was going on. And then he'd give us another group of parables, and then there's more action stories. And I think the groupings, there's some intentionality to that. And yeah, it may have something to do with just the order that Jesus gave them in. I'm not going to say categorically, I was not there, but I don't think it was an accident. And it may be both. I don't think anything in the Scripture is on accident. You know, if it's in there, we got to ask ourselves, why did God want this in the Bible? There's something here for me. Even those parts that are weird or scary or disturbing, they're there for us for some reason. But before we move on to the Dirt on the Kingdom Part 2, we want to flash back to the Dirt on the Kingdom Part 1 with a pop quiz. Is everyone awake and ready? Awaker than me? Is that a word? Awaker? More awake? Forget it. Okay. The heart that is receptive to the kingdom is, what are some of the things? I said four things that the heart that's receptive to the kingdom is. If you can't remember any of them, I'm going to be really bummed. She's over, yeah, but you heard the sermon once before. Obedient, yes. The heart that is, where do we got? Nope, that's not the one. Oh, I just tipped my hand. The heart that is receptive to the kingdom is intent on obedience. Anyone else remember one or just read really fast?
Read really fast.
Humble. Yes, humbly open. The heart that is receptive to the kingdom is humbly open. What else? The heart that is receptive to the kingdom. Two more. Expectant, says the guy in the back with all of my notes. We could add, obviously observant. One more. Anyone remember my walkie-talkies? With that knob, with the squelch knob. Tuned in. The heart that is receptive to the kingdom is tuning in by tuning out. So we're filtering out those things that would distract us from what the Lord is trying to speak to us about. So this morning, as we move into these parables, I hope that you will be expecting to hear from God. I hope that you'll be humbly open to what he has for you this morning. I hope that you'll be tuning out things like the Captain Crunch sub so that you can tune in to the terrarium. And I hope that you're intent on obedience. What God speaks to you this morning, if you come to a sermon and you hear some stuff and you go away and it's not doing something in your life, if it's not changing you in some way, the sermon was a failure and you wasted your time. And I'm not talking about just coming and learning some neat thing, like, did you know that this in Greek means this? Like, I've run into people that think, like, the more Greek you know, the more spiritually mature you are. Like, yeah, but the problem was, like, the Greeks all knew all the Greek. And they weren't all Christians. So there's a flaw in that theory. So we're going to take a look at some of these. And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Look at what you hear, is what he's saying. Be careful how you pay attention to how you hear. He's saying, listen. Not just hear, but listen. Focus in on it. And he talks about this light. I think one pattern that I see through all three of these parables that we're going to look at is that the kingdom of God is something that God is doing in you, and the kingdom of God is something that God is doing through you. So when he talks about a lamp not being hidden, he's kind of talking about, yes, I'm sharing these parables and I'm explaining these parables to you, these mysteries of the kingdom. I am opening up to you, my disciples, so that you can understand them. But he's also saying, now don't take that light that I'm giving you and put it under a bushel. Nobody does that. That's crazy. The light is meant to shine. Facebook, during the elections, there was a big thing that Facebook was kind of filtering the news stories that went through on it. And they were trying to kind of filter out the conservative ones, and everyone got kind of an uproar about it. The good side to that, I guess, if you were on the liberal end of the spectrum, you kind of thought that was a good thing. If you're on a conservative end, you thought that was a bad thing. But I think there's something to it spiritually. Again, that squelch knob is that we need to go into trying to understand the kingdom with the spirit being a filter, filtering out that's not of God. Or you could say the spirit illuminating that which is of God, that light within us. There's a young boy who was fortunate enough to go on a trip to Europe with his parents. And they went around and they saw all these cathedrals and old churches and old, you know, all those historical sites. And he loved it. He had a great time. Came home, went to church, went to Sunday school. And Sunday school teacher said, you know, tell me a little, tell us what did you see and what did you do and what did you like best? And he said, well, the thing I liked best was the old cathedrals. And she said, well, what did you like about them? He said, the stained glass windows were amazing. There are these amazing depictions. He probably didn't use the word depictions because he's a little boy. But these amazing pictures of the saints. And so the Sunday school teacher, being a Sunday school teacher, pressed in a little bit further. He says, well, what are saints? The boy thought about it. He said, they're people that the light shines through. I like that. I like that, you know. City on a hill. Light that can't be hidden. And I think that's part of this first bit. He's saying the kingdom of God is, I'm shining the light into you, but the light has to be shining through you. And you know, the beautiful thing about stained glass is it's stained. A lot of times we don't think God can use us because we're not perfect. We're not there yet. But what stained glass does, it's the light, the pure light shining through all the bubbles and the imperfections and the ripples and the even sometimes cracks, but also the colored stain in the glass that makes that particular piece of glass unique to all the pieces around it. And when light goes through all that, filtered through all these imperfections, it becomes a beautiful thing. And I think that's an awesome picture of the gospel. As the gospel of Christ shines through all the imperfections in your life, it becomes a beautiful thing. Because, you know, the good news isn't good news unless you know the bad news. And that's why it's important to share our stories. That's why it's important in a couple of weeks we're going to talk about being authentic as one of our core values as a church. But if we're not authentic, you can't tell people they need Jesus if you don't think you need Jesus. And now we all think we know that we need Jesus, but we try to cover that fact up to other people sometimes, don't we? We try to appear like we don't. What they need to see is other people who need Jesus and found him, and that it makes a difference, and that the light shining through those imperfections is a beautiful thing. I don't even know what happened to that group of slides. Oh, boy. Okay, so, yeah, we'll skip ahead. That was weird. Moves on to the next one. He said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Wait, he did this one already. No, let's keep going. And he sleeps and rises at night. And he sleeps and rises night and day. That seems more relevant this morning. And the seed sprouts and grows, and he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, that at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. What's he saying here? You know, I can't help but wonder whether the disciples could have been a little discouraged. Again, if the pattern is kind of that the kingdom of God is something God is doing in you and something is he's doing through you, let's look at both sides of that, actually. First, let's look at the in you, because I think that comes first. But sometimes our Christian life is a lot like striving. Like, I'm going to try to please God. But what this is saying is the seed gets sown in our hearts and our lives, and if our hearts are receptive, what happens? Then we try real hard to make it grow. Is that what's happening? Is that what the farmer does? He sows the seed and it grows by itself. God brings the growth. God is working in you and through you. That should be encouraging. In Philippians, the passage we just heard read, I thank my God. Okay, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for all you are making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. That's the through you from the first day until now. And I am sure of this. Hear this as if it's being written by Paul directly to you. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. If we have the receptive heart from that first parable, we know that the growth for the second parable will happen. We have that promise. Can you get in the way of God doing this? You can certainly get in the way of progress. But we have that promise that he is going to bring what he started in us to completion. That is a huge thing of hope. And I've got to wonder, when we talk about God working through you, the kingdom of God coming not just in you, but through you, that after that first parable, were his disciples maybe a little discouraged? Like, if we're going and we're scattering seed, You know, 3/4 of this seed is wasted. The birds came and ate it, or it dried up and shriveled up, or it got choked out. What are we doing here? Anyone ever feel like that? That 3/4 of your efforts to be a witness of the kingdom of God in this place is wasted? And so he tells this second parable, and he says, you know, you sow the seed, boom, job done until the harvest. God brings the growth. It's the Holy Spirit working in the heart of people. Scripture tells us no one can come to him unless he draws them. One of the things we ought to stop doing is thinking that evangelism is dependent upon us. We have a very small role in that. And if we have a receptive kingdom heart, we'll begin to notice where God is already working in people's lives, and that's where we go. This wasn't meant to be part of the sermon, but when Jesus sent out his disciples, he said, go into a house and say peace unto this house, and if your peace returns to you, you stay. But if it doesn't, then you go. What is he saying? He's like, look for people of peace. Look for people who have kingdom receptive hearts. They will be open to the seed you scatter, and I will bring the growth. But if they are not receptive, he's going, in that case, maybe don't waste your seed, because the time is not yet there. Their hearts are not yet prepared. And we need to start being receptive to God's work in the lives of people we know, so we can recognize when is time to lean in and when is time to wait for God to do his thing. And we move on to verse 30 through 34. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable should we use for it? I love that. I just have this picture of Jesus going, what shall we say about the kingdom of God? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples he explained everything. So he talks again about the kingdom of God, and he says it's like a mustard seed, which is like the smallest of seeds. They're probably, I think a poppy seed is smaller than a mustard seed. But to them, in that culture, at that time, one of the smallest seeds they had was a mustard seed. And when that mustard seed was planted, it grew into a bush that was so big it was almost like a tree that the birds of the air could land in its branches. And he was saying to them, the kingdom of God might appear initially as something small and insignificant. But when it comes to maturity, it's something beyond what we imagine. I mentioned these events, like the Revive Us thing and the Awaken the Dawn thing, and I think those are good things. There's nothing wrong with those, and I think we can benefit from them if we have a kingdom receptive heart. But I do worry a little bit that sometimes the American church keeps looking for the kingdom of God in the extravaganza. But that's not what Jesus taught. Jesus didn't say the kingdom of God will be like Vegas on fire, baby. You know? Bing, 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 you know? He said, no, the kingdom of God is going to be like a mustard seed. Remember last week I talked about that little patch of granite in my yard? And that the granite, and I don't know if that particular patch goes that far down, but in that town, the granite goes down 4 miles. They won't exhaust the granite supply in Barrie, Vermont for 2,000 years. I mean, the kingdom of God is expansive. It is irresistible. And yet, it's unstoppable. But it appears as something small. This should bring us hope, because most of us, most of the time, feel small. Right? When you think about all that God's doing in the world, you think of, what can I do? How could God possibly use me? With all of my habits and my sins and my hang-ups and my lack of giftedness, how could God possibly use me? And God's like, that's what I do. God, how can you speak to these people when I haven't slept tonight? Maybe it's not an accident. Maybe God kept poking me all night. He's like, you know what? You're the illustration. You keep making everyone else the illustration every week. This week, you're it. But it's in our weakness that he's made strong, is what Scripture tells us. Right? When the prophet was on the mountain. And you want to hear God speak. God wasn't in the windstorm. God wasn't in the firestorm. God wasn't in the earthquake. Where was God? In a still, small voice. Your life is like a mustard seed. It's like that still, small voice. Do not doubt that God can work in you. He will work in you in the smallest of things. Again, I've been talking about sometimes God's in the flat tire. We're looking for him in the big Christian event, the Christian concert. Sometimes we become retreat junkies, right? Like our Christian life just goes, all right, I'm at a high point because I just went to this retreat or this festival or this event. And then we go, and we slope, and then, oh, here comes the next one, boop, and we're back up here. And we just go, boop. And that's because we're dependent on these external forces to give us a little something to make us feel like we're growing in Christ. And he's saying, I'm here. God is showing up in your life every single day. Amen. He's not just at the conferences. He's every single day. He's in the flat tire. He's in the birthday card. He's in the shopping trip. He's in all of those things. He's saying, I'm here every day. The time is now. The kingdom of God is near. Therefore, repent and believe. So he's saying, yeah, you feel small like a mustard seed. I'm going to work in you through all the small mustard seed things in your life. And then I'm going to work through you. You're going to be my mustard seed. Does that encourage anyone? It encourages me, like, hugely. The kingdom of God starts in the smallest of ways, in the most ordinary moments. The kingdom of God starts in the most broken or boring people. From the humblest of beginnings, the kingdom rises from the smallest things. Are we listening? Do we have receptive hearts? Or are we missing the small things because we're seeking the extravaganza? The smallest seed of receptivity will always outproduce the greatest efforts on our part. If you don't remember anything else this morning, take that one with you. The smallest seed of receptivity to what God is doing will always outperform the greatest effort on your part and on my part. You can't outgive God. You can't outperform God. And that's a hopeful thing. I read recently in a book, and there was a quote, and I don't think it was Philip Yancey. I think it was Philip Yancey quoting Henry Nouwen. But maybe it's Philip Yancey quoting Henry Nouwen, quoting someone else. I don't know how many generations have quoted him. But it's me quoting somebody, quoting somebody. But he said, we're not loved because we're worthy. We're worthy because we're loved. That's the kingdom of God and a mustard seed right there. We're not loved because we're worthy. We're worthy because we're loved. And I would add to that, we are not effective and fruitful in the kingdom of God because we're great or anything, you know. We're not his because we're effective and fruitful. We're effective and fruitful because we're his. Because God decided, I'm going to build my kingdom in you and through you. All you got to do, get out of the way. Let's bow our heads. Are you discouraged at your progress in Christ? Are you discouraged at your impact for Christ? Be careful then how you hear. God is working in you and through you, at times imperceptibly, at times in your problems, at times in your weaknesses. But he brings the harvest if we not only hear but listen. As you're listening this morning, what does your loving Heavenly Father want you to hear? What is He trying to say to you? And the follow-up question is, how will you cooperate with what He's doing in you and what He's doing through you? I'm going to be silent for a moment. Just allow you to hear from God. What is He saying to you this morning?